Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Sunday, and more importantly, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And based on my demographics reports that I get, there are more than a few of you. So happy Father's Day to all of you guys. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Again, hope your weekend and Sunday and Father's Day is going amazing. Today, we are going to be looking ahead to 2025. Now, time out, pause. A few of you may be wondering, why are we looking ahead? It is the off season of 2024. We just finished the off season. We haven't even got to preseason. Why are we looking ahead to 2025? First of all, if you are not willing to multitask with me here, this is probably not going to be the podcast for you. We are always looking ahead. We're always looking forward. We're always looking at everything to do Green Bay Packers. So let's just get that out of the way right away. Number two, I always love, this is one of my favorite episodes. I know I've been saying that a lot lately, but this is one of my favorite exercises to do because it tells us so much about where this team is headed. It's giving us an idea of where the long-term needs are. It could affect roster decisions. It could affect contract extensions. It could affect trades that Green Bay maybe tries to do during the course of the year. It could affect what players they feel comfortable trading away in a certain situation or circumstance. You know, if you don't think that the Packers traded Rasul Douglas away in part because they felt that in the future they would still have Jair Alexander, Keyshawn Nixon, Eric Stokes, Carrington Ballantyne, Corey Ballantyne all on this roster right now and maybe wouldn't have this huge, you know, massive need for Rasul Douglas, they absolutely look ahead to that stuff. And clearly, should go without saying, it will also affect the Packers' preparation as they get ready for the 2025 NFL draft that will be held in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So all of these things are always great to be cognizant of because the decisions of 2024 are affected by what the team looks like in 2025. So let's discuss the rules of engagement for this exercise. First of all, we're looking at this as like a worst case scenario. How I want to view it is if Green Bay had to line up and play the 2025 Vikings or 2025 Lions or 2025 Bears today, but they could not have any of their unrestricted free agents on the roster and they could not have any added draft picks for next year and they were going to lose some players, how would they look? Could they be competitive? Or where are the gaping holes within that roster? Now, we're not going to do it today, but I can look you in the eye and tell you, you do this exercise for some teams out there, and it will look barren. It will look like, oh my goodness, we can barely field the team, and there are some ridiculous spots where we're just screwed. That's why we want to look at it for Green Bay. Does it look like that? Does it look barren? Does it look screwed? Or does it look competitive? Does it look really competitive? Those are the things that we try to want to look at. So rules, just to keep them very, very clear. Any player that is set to become an unrestricted free agent in 2025 is gone, save for Jordan Love. I think we can all agree Jordan Love will not be leaving the team in unrestricted free agency in 2025. That contract's going to get done very soon. Even in a bizarre world in which he didn't, he's going to get franchise tagged. So Jordan Love will still be on the team. That's the one that we're not going to touch here. But every other unrestricted free agent is gone. That means Kenny Clark, Eric Stokes, AJ Dillon, Corey Ballantyne, Josh Myers, Eric Wilson, Greg Joseph, Christian Welch, Andre Dillard, Tyler Davis, Robert Rochelle, Zane Anderson, Royce Newman, TJ Slayton, and Isaiah McDuffie. They are all gone. Green Bay, worst case scenario, they don't re-sign any of them. In addition, all of their exclusive rights free agents are back. So anyone that is still like under team control and they get that beautiful team option, basically, that they get them at a bare minimum salary, those are automatically brought back. There are some players that we're going to look at as a worst case scenario that we're going to say, let's just say Green Bay, because of the Love contract and maybe some other things they do, or just because they want to eventually get off these contracts, that they want to get off a couple contracts as well. The two that would potentially be in discussion here, Preston Smith. And then we talked about Josh Jacobs and how he's kind of on that 1 year and then we'll kind of see sort of plan. let's just say for this scenario, again, we're looking at almost worst case scenario. They're going to release Preston Smith for some salary cap room. They're going to release Josh Jacobs for some salary cap room as well. And then their lone restricted free agent, Caleb Jones, I cannot imagine that they will tender him a restricted free agent contract. So he is gone as well. So just to recap one more time, all unrestricted free agents are gone. All exclusive rights free agents are back. The lone restricted free agent, Caleb Jones, is gone. And in this scenario, kind of again, worst case scenario, we're saying they also release Josh Jacobs and Preston Smith for salary cap purposes. They also have not signed any free agents going into next year. They have not drafted a single player. So this is just the nuts and bolts. And what we're looking at here is the core of the roster. What is the core of your team? So even if you have to lose some players in free agency, even if you don't get to hit in the draft, even if you miss in free agency next year, what does the core of your team look like? And that's what we're going to get to with the remaining players on this roster. So let's say they had to go into a game in 2025 with this team. How does it look? Let's start at quarterback. Nothing changes. Jordan Love, Sean Clifford, Michael Pratt. They still have all three. Now, if they were to release one at cutdown time and they got claimed, that could certainly happen. Or could they trade one away? Sure. But right now, all three guys still set to be under contract, or at least Jordan Love will be very shortly. And you still have everything that you have currently at quarterback. No changes. Running back. Josh Jacobs, we talked about. And this is, we're not saying that this is necessarily going to take place. I don't think it's super likely that it takes place. But in this scenario, Josh Jacobs is gone. AJ Dillon is gone in free agency. And we'll say Marshawn Lloyd, obviously, still under contract. We'll say they kept Emmanuel Wilson either on the active roster or on the practice squad, so he's still available. So they go into the game, two running backs, Marshawn Lloyd and Emmanuel Wilson. Now, I think we would all agree it's probably not enough running backs. It's probably not good enough at that position. Now, I am insanely high on Marshawn Lloyd. I think he can be a starter sooner rather than later if you need him to be. So I'm not necessarily concerned about that aspect of it, but you want, of course, a little bit more depth there. You would love a little bit more competition, a better number two, maybe than Emmanuel Wilson, unless he takes a significant step. But as of right now, Marshawn Lloyd and Emmanuel Wilson, by the way, just to take a quick aside here, one of the reasons that I talk about the AJ Dillon situation, why he's not necessarily a lock to make the team, one of those things I always talk about is controllable years. And that is why GMs look at this stuff and do this exact exercise that we're sort of looking at today. There are advantages to keeping guys like Emmanuel Wilson on the roster over AJ Dillon if they are close. And the reason being is AJ Dillon is an unrestricted free agent in 2025. Emmanuel Wilson is not. He is under team control. So if there is any small sliver of like closeness between Wilson, well, certainly if Wilson's better, right? They just keep Wilson. But even if Wilson is close to Dillon, you start looking at it and saying, all right, well, Wilson is younger. He has more team control. He'll be under contract in 2025 and he's cheaper. And that's why, again, you look at this stuff because, you know, you could cut Emmanuel Wilson. Maybe somebody else claims him. You keep AJ Dillon as your number three running back this year. He becomes an unrestricted free agent and leaves. And you just get the 1 year of AJ Dillon, where if you kept Wilson, you would get 2 years or more potentially. So that's why you look at every single one of these things, and that's why you go through these type of exercises. But right now, Marshawn Lloyd and Emmanuel Wilson at running back. Theoretically, Henry Pearson still available at fullback if they would keep him on the roster or the practice squad in some capacity. Your wide receivers are ridiculous. You still have every single wide receiver next year. It's just crazy. They'll have Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Bo Melton, Malik Heath, and then assuming they would keep them on the roster in some capacity, Grant Dubose and Samori Toure would also still be under contract. An embarrassment of riches now should be an even more embarrassment of riches a season from now, when theoretically those players should be better, more familiar with the offense, faster, stronger, all of it, hopefully, fingers crossed. But they are still set at wide receiver. Tight end, despite losing Tyler Davis potentially, Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft, Ben Sims, all three beautifully under contract, super cheap, no worries, no concerns there whatsoever. You are still in an amazing spot. So overall, quarterback, running back, fullback, wide receiver, tight end, outside of really losing, you know, Josh Jacobs again in the scenario that we're presenting here, they're still completely good to go. Offensive line, you lose Josh Myers. Not a huge deal, right? Like, it's not ideal, maybe. I don't know, maybe it is, depending on how you feel about Josh Myers. But you still have Rashid Walker, and we'll kind of play with this a little bit, but Rashid Walker and Zach Tom at offensive tackle, with Travis Glover as your swing tackle. Jordan Morgan and Sean Ryan maybe as your guards, with Donovan Jennings backing up. Elgton Jenkins at center, and Jacob Monk backing up. Or, of course, you could maybe start Jacob Monk if he's ready, and you could go with maybe Elgton and Jordan Morgan at guards, Zach Tom and Rashid Walker at tackle, and still have Sean Ryan backing up. Like, there are a multitude of ways that you could go. We know the versatility of Morgan, Tom, and Jenkins, so place them where you may, and then you still have Rashid Walker, you still have Sean Ryan, and maybe, just maybe, Jacob Monk is ready to go by next year as well. Still feels pretty freaking similar. So offensively, outside of losing Josh Myers, which you're hoping guys like Jacob Monk and Jordan Morgan and all those guys are getting better and ready to step up and be a starter next year, whoever the sixth guy is this year, you're hoping is ready to be that true starter next year. And Josh Jacobs, who again, could easily just be back as well. You're looking at the exact same team. And I look at it right now offensively. And if you told me that Green Bay did have to release Josh Jacobs, and you did tell me that they didn't draft a single offensive player or sign a single free agent and lost, you know, Josh Myers, and that's what it was on offense, they're going to be fine. They're going to compete next year easily on offense. And we know that at that running back position, that's one of those positions you can find, right? So they are going to, you know, either draft somebody or bring back a Dylan or bring back a Josh Jacobs or go sign somebody in free agency. They're not just going to go into the season with Wilson and Lloyd. So they still have the opportunity to upgrade, and they can upgrade in a variety of different ways. So even in the bare nuts and bolts, everything goes wrong, you lose everyone, you don't get anyone situation, that offense still looks stellar in 2025. And that brings us to defense. How about defensive end? Remember, we had to release Preston Smith for this exercise. You still have Rashawn Gary, LVN, former first-round pick, who everyone is hoping is going to take a jump, Kingsley Nagbare, and then Brenton Cox, who is, in my opinion, one of the standouts of OTAs and minicamp so far. I feel good about that. Could you always get better? Could you always have more pass rushers? Absolutely. But I still feel good about that four-man rotation going into next year, assuming that Gary is Gary and Nagbare, you know, at least stays the same and doesn't get worse, and LVN hopefully takes a step forward. Totally cool with that. And who knows what Brenton Cox becomes. And you still have lottery tickets, guys like Kenneth Odemegwu and some others as well. But like overall, I feel comfortable with that four. Hey, everybody. We are officially in the thick of the NBA and NHL finals. And over the course of the next couple weeks, we will crown new champions in both leagues. We're also in the midst of baseball season. The WNBA is seriously heating up with crazy new stories every single day. And don't forget about esports either. Whatever your interest is, make it more interesting with Prize Picks. There's always action on Prize Picks, and right now, every Wednesday and Saturday in June, if your esports lineup doesn't win, you'll get your entry fee back. Choose from Counter-Strike 2, Call of Duty, League of Legends, and so many more. And of course, there are still plenty of incredible selections available during the NHL and NBA Finals, and right now, Prize Picks is lowering select player stat projections on Tuesdays, which increases your chances of getting a win. There are a ton of unique promotions available that you will not want to miss out on. This week, I'm expecting a massive performance from two of the biggest stars in the world, Connor McDavid and Luka Doncic. Both need huge performances to give their respective teams a chance to win a championship, so I'm going heavy with those two. I'm also going with Sabrina Ionescu in the WNBA. There's never been a better time to get in the action with Prize Picks, and we're making it easy for you here at Packaday. Just download the Prize Picks app today and use code Packaday for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code Packaday for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. As many of you know, a few years back, the Milwaukee Bucks were in the NBA Finals, and I desperately wanted to go to Game 6 in Milwaukee to see them win the championship. As you can imagine, prices were insane, and I kept going back and forth with different apps to try and find the cheapest tickets possible. I finally found them, clicked purchase, and of course, they were gone. Goodbye, Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Now, thankfully, the day of the game, I was able to find a ticket, but the entire thing was so expensive and way too stressful. I really wish I could have simply used Game Time to alleviate all of the stress and all of the hassle. I've started using Game Time app for purchasing all of my tickets, and I wish I would have done so sooner. From low prices to easy-to-find tickets to last-minute ticket deals, the Game Time app is perfect for all of my ticket needs. Game Time is the fastest-growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You can get images of your seat before you buy. You can buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two clicks only, in fact, and tickets are sent directly to your phone so you never need to dig through your email. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. That's code PACKADAY. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Then we get to our first potential problem position, and that is defensive tackle. Now, the great news is it's not barren. Like, you're going to have some trouble stopping the run again if we had a game this weekend against the 2025 opponent. Thankfully, we don't. But Devontae Wyatt, Carl Brooks, Colby Wooden is what you have. Now, you still like those three players. Those are three players you feel good about rostering on the 53 next year, but the run stopping. And I should mention as well, you can also kick LVN inside a little bit in those situations. You've got some versatility there. It's not, you know, just a complete oh crap situation. But in this scenario, Kenny Clark and TJ Slayton, both unrestricted free agents. And in this scenario, they're both gone. And that is the first position where you're like, okay, we clearly need some help with a run-stopping defensive tackle. In this situation, you probably need to have Devontae Wyatt bulk up a little bit and be sort of your bigger run-stopping defensive tackle. Theoretically, Jonathan Ford could play here as well. Like, he would probably have to. Like, Jonathan Ford's probably your run-stopper, and then you're going to probably play Devontae Wyatt next to him, and clearly that's not good enough. And that is why we talk about these things again, because if you're starting to look at contract extensions, the guys that you want to start thinking about, as we've talked about a little bit, is Kenny Clark. And I know I've been, hey, wait and see a little bit, but I also, as I've said multiple times, see the other side of it as well. If you want to lock that dude in, the guy that's been sort of the complete just center of the defense, the guy that the rest of the defense kind of revolves around for the majority of his career in Green Bay, if you want to keep that guy in Green Bay for the next 3 years and just kind of plug that spot that looks like a question mark in 2025 and beyond, cool. I'm certainly not going to complain about it. I know that much. I'd be totally fine with it. So Kenny Clark or TJ Slayton. TJ Slayton's the other one. Maybe you talk to Slayton's agent just as a, you know, let's see, can we get some sort of cheap deal done here? Can we lock him up for 2 to 3 years on something that's below market value or what it could be if he had a really great year this year? I think he's another guy you probably want to see on a contract year just because you could get a really good, like great year out of him in a contract year, I think, for Slayton, because he's going to know he can get paid if he has a great year. So I think you probably let that go a little bit, but these are the positions that you look at, and that's why potential extensions, and specifically for Clark, but maybe for Slayton, could make some sense, because it not only, of course, that like they're already under contract this year in 2024, but those are the gaps and potential empty spaces in 2025 that you're going to have to fill in some way. And you never want to necessarily go into the draft having to feel like, well, we got to find a nose tackle. We got to find a run stopper, or we're just screwed going into next year. So I could see situations where they want to extend certainly Kenny Clark and maybe even a TJ Slayton. All right, linebackers, another interesting one where you don't need a top player, right? You still have Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, and Tyron Hopper that are on your roster here. Like, you're hoping those guys continue to improve and grow, and you feel comfortable you have two, maybe even three starters in your 4-3 just with those three guys. You're hoping, fingers crossed again, that those are your three guys that are your starters in 4-3, and then two of the three are in nickel and one of the three are in dime, and you don't need starting guys. You don't need big time players at that position, but you will need depth. They don't have anyone else outside of that of note. So that will be a position where they're going to at least need some bodies. And then you could just go bargain shopping again, bring back an Eric Wilson or a Christian Welch or one of those type of guys. They could just grab some guys late in the draft. But again, in this scenario, we don't have that benefit. So we're going into a game. We only have three, but I think you feel pretty comfortable with the three that you do have in Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, and Tyron Hopper, at least to the extent that you can at this point with two rookies, not knowing what they're going to be, but you've got two top 100 picks in Hopper and Edgerrin Cooper. Corner is another one. You lose Eric Stokes, but Jair Alexander at one corner, Carrington Valentine at the other, Keyshawn Nixon in the slot, and a little bit of a lottery ticket in Kalen King. You're not feeling terrible about it. You feel pretty good. You feel like you'd still probably need some depth, maybe some competition for Carrington, maybe some competition for Keyshawn Nixon. But again, you feel like you can go into a game and start with that group, no questions asked. So Green Bay once again feels like they're competitive with that group. At worst, they should be competitive with that group. And then safety is the exact same guys you have now. Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, Ketan Oladapo, and Anthony Johnson Jr. And we'll just round it out with special teams. You've got Anders Carlson still at kicker, assuming he makes the team. Daniel Whalen still under contract. I think he'll be an exclusive rights guy at punter, but still in this situation under contract because he is that ERFA. And then long snapper, whoever you keep, whether it's Peter Bowden or Matt Orzech, both would still be under contract next year as well. So you've got your three core special teams positions filled out. You're not needing a ton here. And when we talk about a team wanting to be a draft and develop team, this is why. This is because you're not getting like a free agent that maybe you keep for a year or two. Like, you're getting guys that are going to be a core part of your team for the foreseeable future. And that's what Green Bay has with so many of these homegrown guys. And that is also, by the way, why everything we talk about this year, we are talking about Green Bay being ultra competitive and hopefully Super Bowl competitive in 2024. But the number one thing for this team is going to remain growth. These guys have to keep growing, and you want to continue to develop the core of this team because the core of this team is going to be together for a while, and they're going to have the ability to compete in 2024, 2025, 2026, and beyond. And again, that doesn't even include some of the guys that you're going to be able to pick up in free agency in future years, some of the guys that you're going to be able to pick up in the draft in future years. So Green Bay is in a great position. Your needs going into the future, into 2025, clearly defensive tackle slash nose tackle, like those big time run stopping positions. And again, you will have negotiations with Kenny Clark and TJ Slayton. If you don't, I'm sure you will shop in free agency. And if you don't, I'm sure you will find guys in the draft, or maybe it's a blend. Maybe you bring Kenny back and maybe you sign a cheap free agent and maybe you draft somebody in the third round, second round, first round at defensive tackle. That could be the case, right? Linebacker is in need, not at the top end, hopefully. Hopefully Quay and Hopper and Cooper are all good to go, and those are your guys that you can count on moving forward, but you're certainly going to need some depth at that position. You'd love a little bit more competition at corner and probably start preparing for the, you know, post Jaire Alexander seasons. Like, that's going to happen at some point. Running back, you know, right now you've only got Lloyd and Wilson. You're going to need some bodies there. You're going to need some guys who can come and compete. Or again, maybe you just keep Josh Jacobs. That's certainly within the realm of possibility as well. And then of course, you're always going to need more offensive line depth as well. But it really just goes to show you, outside of defensive tackle, where you feel a little bit where like, all right, that's a pretty gaping hole because you don't have Kenny Clark and a TJ Slayton. Imagine right now we go into this season and there's no Slayton or Clark out there, you're feeling like, oh, they need to do something and they need to do something right now. Like, that would be an issue. So that's the big one. That's the way that I think you would have to start attacking that specific position in some capacity. Everything else, and I mean everything else, I feel like you could go into 2025 and compete with really good teams right now. And that's why this exercise is so cool and so fun to look at for a team like the Packers, where they are going to bring back some of their own free agents. Maybe they don't release a Josh Jacobs, and in all likelihood, they don't. Or maybe they don't release Preston Smith. Some of those guys will be back next year. Maybe they do re-sign Kenny Clark or TJ Slayton or both. Those are all things that they will have the ability to do with the salary cap space they will have. They're going to have to restructure some guys. They're going to have to do a little salary cap dancing with the new Jordan Love contract. That's okay. It's well within their reasoning and ability to do so. But I think they're in a perfect spot. And of course, they're going to have hopefully another very fruitful draft. I think Goody's been on one with drafting, and hopefully that continues into 2025, especially when they're drafting in Green Bay. And they will have some money to go out, probably not big game hunting. We're probably not looking at a Xavier McKinney in 2025, but if they need to add a couple pieces to fill a hole here or there, they'll have the ability to do so too. So they have this beautiful core of a team together that's already going to be competitive in 2025 if they do nothing, if they lose everyone they could lose, if they make some really difficult roster cuts. Sign me up for this team being already competitive in next year, seriously. And they're going to get better. They will continue to grow as a team. They will add those free agents. They will add future draft picks, and that will round out the rest of this roster in some of those positions that we talked about. They are in a fantastic spot, not just in 2024, but in 2025, and frankly, well beyond that. And in large part due to this big contract they are about to give Jordan Love to be that franchise quarterback for the foreseeable future. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Happy Father's Day again to all who are celebrating. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Jay Broaddad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinosa, and Dan Gesford. I'll see you guys tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.